And then I'm going to go over to a speaker mic. Go ahead.
Sir, what's your name?
Sorry about that. The handle is Don Delta Oscar November. QTH is Norwood, New Jersey. Go ahead.
Okay, Don, I just switched over to the other radio I have here. This is also a uniform Victor Foxtrot 1. Victor Foxtrot 1. That's the full model number. So, you do sound a little like you might be off frequency. Are you on 146.955?
Affirmative, and I have installed PL141.3.
Yeah, you know what? You sound better on my TYT radio than you do on my ICOM desk radio, but this is the TYT radio. You hear a little echo in the background. I'm turning up the volume on my ICOM 746 Pro. Let's do this. K2ZO, your critical assessment of audio.
Oh, sounds like a handy talkie. This is K2ZO. Yeah, it, I don't know, it doesn't have all of the highs and the lows that it probably should have, but it's okay. At least you can understand. Using a speaker mic with this HD, because the HD's audio sounds the same as his does, rather limited, but communication audio, correct?
Okay. So we both sound a little limited. All right, so Don, why don't you try your handy talkie? I mean your speaker mic.
The speaker mic is also a TYT. I just purchased it yesterday at Advanced Specialties in Lodi. I'm not using it right now, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just using this as an excuse to burn up the batteries because the thing could use a charge, so I figure what the heck, since you came on. I have the same radio. Mine has a male connector, so it's an older model, and mine's red. Most of the ones you see around now are either silver or black.
Okay, very good. I'm on the speaker mic right now. I probably sound a little bit better. And I guess this is one of the newer versions of the UVF1. I understand on the upper right corner of the keypad, I have an A stroke B. I understand the first run of these had the U stroke Victor. But I guess the audio sounds better now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say so. I'm just kind of curious. What accessories besides the speaker mic and the little desk charger stand do you have?
Let's see. It came with the drop-in battery charger and the wall cube that plugs into it. It came with a mobile adapter that fits into the charger, the cigarette lighter. Then what else did it come with? Well, it came with the antenna, of course, and it came with a battery. I got a spare battery for $23. That's 1500 mAh, 7.4 volt battery. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know how you charge it without the radio, though. So does the car adapter plug directly into the radio, or is it plug into a thing that looks like a battery, or does it plug into the dual desk charger stand?
It plugs into the desk charger stand. I understand that they sell a battery eliminator, which you can plug into the cigarette lighter, then into the battery eliminator. I'm going to have to read up a bit more on that. And if you have a June QST, this radio is featured in June QST.
Yeah, I do. And yes, it is. mine's so old that actually it's a Part 90 device, so it transmits from like 400 to 470 or something, and it transmits like 136 to, I don't know, 174 or something. It's ridiculous. So, you know, the new ones will do it too, but you have to mod them in some way. But mine's an earlier run, to say the least. All right, very good. Well, welcome aboard, and don't be a stranger to the net. We meet here every Thursday night at the TechNet. We look for questions. We look for things. Anybody have any comments about Chinese radio? Okay, let's go back then to Noel's question. Real sidetrack. So, Noel, you know, I think you could use this as long as you can find one that will have the current capacity that you need. I would be inclined only to use it with FM stuff, to be honest, because I got to believe that these switching power supplies are going to be, shall we say, a little spectrally rich.
Okay, let me see if I have it for a minute. Okay, I want to thank you for... I didn't know this was TechNet. I'm sorry. I would have broken in more formally. And just before I go, your UVF1, do you have a multi-color display over?
You mean, can I change the color of the display?
Affirmative.
Yeah, I think there's two choices.
Okay, I have, I have orange, blue, and purple. This is WA2ZOZ, and thank you for running the tests with me. I used to be on this repeater more often, and now that I have some rigs, I'll be on, usually later in the evening. So thank you again. I'll be on the side, WA2ZOZ.
Okay, it's done, right?
Affirmative. Handle is Don, located in Norwood, New Jersey.
Okay, Don, we'll keep a few ears out. We've got a few more things going on here before the net's over. All right, very good. Well, thank you for checking in. By the way, I have all three colors as well. It's just the purple one is like, oh my God, it's hard on the eyes. I think I use blue to the extent that it's ever lit, but I have it, you know, shut down the display, if I'm not pressing on the keys. Alrighty, N2OEL, K2BAR. So, yeah, again, I think your constraint's going to be, whether you can find a power supply and whether or not you're going to use it in a weak signal mode, using a weak signal mode, especially in a portable operation where the antenna is going to be locally placed. I think I'd stay away from that. I think I would spend my money on a boost regulator, however. That might be more appropriate.
AJ4WD.
Good evening, Rachel. N2OEL, K2BAR. All right, go ahead, Rachel, AJ4WD, K2BAR. Welcome aboard. Your question.
No question, no comment. I was just listening and wanted to get in on the raster.
Consider yourself at it. Not a problem. Yeah, I'm using my handy talkie. The last station, WA2ZOZ, came on using a TYT monoband radio, and that reminded me that I had it. You know, a declining but not dead battery in my HT, and I wanted to flatten it out before I stick it back on the charger. So, we did that. I want to thank a bunch of people, KC2RX, NS2K, gosh, I'm going to leave somebody out who's here, I'm sure, and many others who helped out at the Bergen County bike ride last Sunday. Good time was had by all. A lot of kinks and such came out, got worked out of our processes. And looking forward to the big August 14th Ramapo Rally, which is an all-day affair from Camp Call Reservation to Chester and back. So with six different, you know, route lengths to manage. It's going to be a lot of fun, a great MCOM drill. We had George and Joyce providing weather information, and we had miscellaneous other people doing fags, miscellaneous people doing logistics. It was a really, really great time. Really, really was. So anyway, I like the TYT radio, but in all honesty, I think it depends on what you're going to use it for. I think that the wash-ons are maybe a little more mechanically robust. I find every so often the battery on this radio gets loosened, and I hear it go through the power-on sequence, you know, and you hear little beeps as it, you know, reestablishes itself, which makes me wonder how long was it not engaged. But, you know, you can only drop a radio so many times and have it work. Let me drop it. N3UXK, Dave, went out and bought three different 440 and I think ultimately two different 2-meter monoband radios from various manufacturers, including TYT. Unlike this radio, the 2-watt handy talkies used Nokia cell phone batteries, 3.7 volt Nokia cell phone batteries. You can buy those by the stack for, you know, pennies. I mean, like literally a few dollars a battery for those things. And you know, there's all sorts of chargers out there that just take those little flat battery packs and charge them. So it's something to consider, especially if you want a simple 2-meter, 440, or even 220 talk-around radio. It's got high, low, and lower power. You know, where high power is 2 watts, so it's very cool. The TYTs, by the way, have a micro USB cable to program them with, which I think is marvelous. And each one costs like $42 or something shipped. I mean, it's ridiculously inexpensive. So that's kind of where that's going. Anybody have experience with the Japanese or the Chinese radio? Alrighty. Well, any other comments for the net?
Mr. JK.
Mr. Don.
Yeah, I see some of these radios now mentioned here in QST. I'm looking at the article. They come with a cord that you can plug into a computer so you can program these radios. But I would assume that you would be able to program these without the computer if you know how to do it. I mean, I've done it with all my other radios and without the computer. And I think we were out in the field someplace and somebody says, hey, let's go with such and such a frequency. You should be able to do it without having to plug in the computer and wind that up and, you know, just it would seem like, I don't know whether it's a good thing to, I guess it's a good thing if you had to do a lot of radios, like the police department had a whole bunch of radios. They went and set them all up the same. But you see what happens with our circ people in River Edge. But the thing is that, you know, you'd have to have a laptop to set one of these things up. It would be such a bargain. And Yeah, that's another thought on this particular radio. They do not have a battery pack that you can put AA batteries or AAA batteries in there as an alternative power source. I mean, just think of, you know, you have these batteries, but they take a while to charge, and if you can get yourself a whole box of AA batteries, you can go for quite a while with something like that. Back to that, 72JK.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. But as Don mentioned, they do have a thing that looks like a battery that you can jam 12 volts into. So, you know, it all is not lost. And by the way, Washon, for some of their radios, does have the comparable radio to the one that's featured in QST. They did the Washon review a month or two ago in the TYT this month. But the Washon does have, I believe, a battery available or battery case available if you want to play that game. One thing I did want to draw your attention to is as far as programming, yeah. All of these radios are programmable, and generally, once you get the hang of what their human factors interface is, it's not a big deal to do. What becomes more challenging is when you just simply forget, and that's a problem. The other reason for having computer interfaces is that if you're fortunate enough to be able to have a piece of software that'll read in something from one to the other, or even if you have to break it down to a comma in a separated file or massage it a little bit, you can save yourself entering a lot of frequencies manually, and that's really, really a good thing. The plus for the TYT, by the way, is that for both of them, is that they use, on these dual-band models, they all use Kenwood accessory microphones. So you can use that if you like. If I have a Kenwood headset, I mean, my whole family got, you know, a stack of THF6s that, you know, cost originally $300 a piece. And, you know, some of them I bought used for as little as $200, but most of them were bought new. And, you know, these CYTs are $100, or the Washons are $100. With a lot of accessories, they're $100. I mean, my lord. So, it's something to give you consideration to. They're not real dual receive. They'll dual monitor, but once something locks, you don't hear the other receiver. But let me point out something. You can buy two and be ahead. Let me say that. You can buy two of these handy talkies and be ahead. So, what's the big deal? Build yourself redundancy and interoperability. So, I think that's something to consider as well. Any other comments? All right. Any more from you, Don?
Thank you. WJKS.
Okay, very good. Zulu Oscar Zulu, any more from you, the other Don?
Not really. I have an 857 Delta here with me. Also, I'd like to give that a try if I may, and get a signal report.
Sure, if you'd like to go to sideband after that closes, I can even do that on 6 or 2 meters.
Okay, now I'm on the 857 Delta with a mag mount antenna indoors. I guess I sound okay.
Yeah, once you got rid of the other radio that was breaking in the background, yeah, sounds great.
Okay, that's all I have. I'll still be on the side.
Would you like to try 6 or 2 meter sideband after the net?
I just got this radio also. I'm not familiar with what frequencies to use on sideband.
Okay. 857 is a nice little radio. I had its predecessor, I had one of those as well, and I had the 897, and I even had an 817. The FT-100, I like that, the best of them all. And, it's good stuff. Although, at this point, I'm thinking about getting another 817. God, I must be a glutton for punishment. It's that portable operation thing in me that says I'll go do that. But anyway, QRP is tough for demos of ham radio. Let's see. Write these two frequencies down because you'll want them for this weekend for the VHF contest. They are 144-200. 144-200. You can tune up from there, down from there, whatever you like. And the other one is 50.125. 50.125. You can operate phone down to 100 on both those bands. Below 100, you have to operate CW. But if you go up from those frequencies, you'll be fine. In both cases, use upper sideband.
Okay, 144.200 and the 6 meter is 50.125, upper sideband, up or down 100. Okay, very good. I've never used sideband on 2 meters before, and I have a list here of I'm an extra class, by the way. I've been licensed since I guess December 1961 or so. So I have about 50 years in ham radio, and my favorite mode was CW. I like CW on the low bands. And then I moved into an apartment, and there went my antennas. So I have to come up. Right now I'm using a mag mount indoors on top of a 4-foot ladder, and I have a barbell plate on top of the ladder. Then I have the mag mount. So I'm gonna talk to the landlord here or see if I can sneak one up somehow. Go ahead.
That's marvelous. Let me also give the 432 frequency. It's 432-100 plus or minus, okay?
Okay, 432-70 centimeters also. Okay, I'll write that down.
Yeah, for a moment there, I did a brain fart because I'm using a... Well, now I'm back on my 746 Pro, but that goes HF through 2 meters. I thought about my 7000. I said, wait a minute, 7000 covers what your 857 does. That's very good. Well, congratulations on the new radio equipment. They'll give you a lot of pleasure. Now, Barra had a portable day a month ago where guys went out and operated in a park on HF, mostly on HF, on batteries with antennas they strung in the trees or had on the tables or whatever, on tripods and all sorts of other things. So, you know, that's another mode to think about is, you know, get yourself that radio mounted and something easy to move around in. And, you know, you see those little utility carts with the wheels, you know, like tool carts. And what some guys are doing is they're putting some significant batteries in the bottom of those things so they don't have to roll with them. They have a box on top with the radio equipment, and the box on the bottom has the batteries and maybe some tools, and you roll that, you know, out, you stack it, and you roll it to where you want to operate. And, that might be something to consider. In your future, especially since you're apartment bound, and that way your battery box is separate from your radio box, but still put on, you still mount it on the same set of wheels if you want to and go play radio. That's great. Anyway, the VHF contest is from 2 on Saturday to 11 p.m. Sunday, and we drop it. You'll find plenty of activity then.
You might even want to just throw the Magnet on the car. You'll have to move it back and forth, but if you have a typical 5/8 antenna on 2 meters, it usually will be a good quarter wave on 6, especially the Larsons and a few others like that. I think the MFJ 2 meter 5/8 will also exhibit similar characteristics.
Okay, thank you for that information. I have two different mag mounts here. I have the ANLI, I believe it is, antenna networks that I purchased at ASC. And I also have a Maxrad, both 2 meters, 70 centimeter. And I'll be experimenting with the radios, and again, thank you for the information.
Okay, well, very good. Well, portable operation in the summertime is fun. If you don't mind the heat and you can find a comfortable place to operate, just go do that. Have a great time. I mean, summer is great for getting outdoors and operating, and you know, you can drive to all sorts of cool places and just enjoy yourself. What a lot of people do, like I know a lot of guys on, not just on VHF, but even on HF, will drive to local parks and things like that and operate for the day. They'll bring a lunch, et cetera. They'll try to find a place with restroom facilities, and they'll just make a day of it and just kind of relax and just kind of, you know, enjoy, play radio, get a little small, like a 2-foot by 3-foot folding table, and you know, a couple of comfortable camp chairs at the right height, and like those fold-out director chairs, but made out of aluminum instead of wood, and just, you know, do that. In fact, one place I was actually thinking of going this weekend, but now we're doing other things, is going up to Bear Mountain. I was going to go up there early in the day, just after they open up, so that way I don't get shut out, and head up there and drive up onto Bear Mountain, do my thing, and then drive home. It'd be fun to do, just something different. But anyway, I won't be the only rover up there this weekend, I can tell you that right now. Grin, grin. Alrighty, anybody else?
W2MW Mobile.
W2MW, wow. How are you, Kurt?
Gordon, and hi to the net. Yeah, I finally got the radio back in the car working again, so six-month delay, I guess. But nonetheless, I've been reading the mail there. I'm not sure if I'm going to be, you know, what I'll be doing this weekend, Gordon, but I'm literally no more than about a 15-minute ride to the top of Bear Mountain. So if time affords, time is scarce on my part, maybe I'll pay you a visit if you're up there. With that, back to net, it's W2MW.
Now, I'll be squawking here if I am, but I won't be there much. I'm thinking Sunday, maybe, in the afternoon. We'll see. We will see. At this point, because Barra canceled their hilltop effort on account of, you know, the forecast of inclement weather, and they decided, all right, if they're going to do that, then I'm going to go work the Red Cross Trail over in Passaic County and do that instead. So we shall see. But anyway, it is what it is. Anybody else?
W2JC Mobile Monitor.
Wowie Kazowie, W2JC. Thank you again, Jim, for your help this weekend on the Bergen County bike ride, and also your commentaries thereafter.
Okay, well, we've been monitoring for a while. I'm on the parkway. I just was listening to the repeater all the way along Route 23 from Scotch Plains to the parkway, and now we're headed north in Irvington on the parkway. Over.
You really meant to say 22, not 23, right?
That's right.
Okay, very good. I can't believe how many stations we have in here tonight. It's amazingly long. Well, that's great. I'm glad we had some good turnout this weekend, and it was a good event. We're discussing giant Chinese radios, and the epiphany is that you can buy two of the dual-band 5-watt wash-ons or TYT anti-talkies with a bunch of accessories for $200, and you can go out and buy a brand new, Kenwood THF6 with, granted, a few more features and extra bands and a few other things for $300. But if you pick your radio right, you get a 2-meter 440 and a 2-meter 220, you can have two independent radios and work two of those bands simultaneously and have spare batteries so you can triage your batteries better and use all the same accessories, etc. So even so, it's kind of cool, and you always have a second 2-meter radio, which is always useful as well. We're discussing that in the context of emergency response and just plain good old household economics. So anything else from anybody? K2BR.
Did you forget my question, K2ZO?
Oh, Jim, I did. I'm sorry. I thought that question, what the topic was, your question. K2ZO, go for it. K2BAR.
Okay, I had a bunch of comments. I was waiting for you got to me, but you never did. This is K2ZO. First of all, on the flare, yeah, that happened just the other day. And we're going to see some very interesting results from that solar flare. As far as the question about 6 meters, just go to dxwatch.com, and there's a bunch of 6-meter listings right now, along with lots of other ones. So, yeah, there's some activity. Not around here a whole lot, but this guy's out in the West Coast working Hawaii. So there you go. You can watch and see what's going on. That's dxwatch.com, okay? And, to answer Noel's question, Marlon P. Jones is a great company. I buy lots of stuff from them. But don't buy a boost regulator from them. Buy yourself a boost regulator. Put the two batteries in series. They're sulfated. The current density has gone down, but you'll still be able to operate with a good 13.8 volts, which you'll need to run an HF radio. And that'll be the best choice. You'll be able to run those a lot longer at less current density, and it's a good solution.
If you can find one of those things that'll do more than 4 amps.
Well, I don't think you're going to find one on Marlon P. Jones.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, because I have a parallel problem to that that might be indicative. So what he could do is take two of the batteries and put them in series, like you were saying. On the output side, he could float up another battery, and that way, when he goes and bangs it with, you know, bangs his transmitter, he won't be sucking 100, you know, 20 amps from through the regulator. It will basically come out of the battery that's on the output side of his regulation, on the outside of his 24 to 12 volt converter. That might work better, yes?
The output from the converter is going to be 13.8 if he sets it that way, because that's what our radios want to work on, especially the HF ones. The battery that's going to be sitting there is only going to be 12.6 volts because it's not going to be being charged.
I see, that's right. But if you set the out, well, yeah, okay. I see your point. So he's got, his limitation is that it's going to be a
that he really needs a 13 volts, not 12, or 13.8, not 12, and then more importantly, you know, at that point, you would start sucking current through the regulator, probably toast the regulator, I mean, toast the power supply, basically.
Yep, that's what happens. So you get yourself a good boost regulator, and you can do it, no problem at all.
All right, so let's go back again. If I take the two batteries, run them through the 24 to 12 volt converter, with the understanding that it's only 3.8 amperes can be pulled through that thing, I set the output voltage to 13 volts and put it on a 12 volt battery on the output side, and then, God forbid, put a boost regulator from that to bring it up to, let's say, 14 volts or so, what will the load do? And I'm specifically looking at the nexus of the output of the 3.8 ampere 12 volt supply floated across the secondary battery. When that starts drawing current, what's going to happen to that? The you know, most of the current will come from the battery, and I would think not through the regulator. You shouldn't. I don't think it'll fry the regulator. I mean, not that I should keep saying regulator, but the power supply. I don't think it'll draw from the power supply. I think it'll draw from the batteries. It's right there. It has less internal resistance, yes?
That's not what I said to do. I said to buy a boost regulator that would provide the 20 amp requirement. I don't think a boost regulator with 3 amps is going to work. It may, you know, for short bursts to keep things charged up, but I think he's going to need more than that.
So he's going to have to find a 20 amp version of what he was talking about, and on the output of that, just put a boost regulator and be done with it.
Question. Okay, Don. What I do is be able to use the batteries at less than their full current. You had a question, Don?
Yeah, I'm thinking you mentioned 20 amp boost regulator. What's that going to cost versus the cost of a brand new deep cycle battery that you get at a marine place or whatever?
The problem is the brand new battery will still sag under current load and won't meet the performance requirements of the radio, which really wants to see 13.8.
Yeah, I got you there. Also, you mentioned putting batteries in series. How many batteries does he have? Does he have two that are better than, two that are fairly good or better than some of the others? I'm going to say he puts, you're not going to be any better than your worst battery if you have two in series. No, you pick the two best batteries, I guess, is what you want to do for that type of effect.
Correct. Absolutely correct. So, in my case, I have something a little different. I have a solar charge regulator that is nominally rated for 7 amps, you know, 100 watts, basically, max. But it'll pull 7 amps all day and night. So, with that in mind, it has three terminals, a battery, and a solar panel input. So obviously the battery array gets that. The solar panel array gets the second connection. The third one is for the load. Now I want to take the output of that load and regularly exceed 7 amps. So if I take the output of that and do what I was describing before, and again, I can set the output voltage of this thing pretty much where I want. But more importantly, I can also follow it with a boost regulator. So I have several of those. Is there any caution you might put into stacking the output of this charge regulator? To use the charge regulator to charge an output side battery, which is my load, and then strapping a radio on top of that through a boost regulator, is that something I could get away with, Jim?
That's a good question. I think so.
Yeah, I'm figuring it's a closer match. It's about half of what, you know, or a third of what I want to do, and my duty cycle is not going to be so excessive as to be a problem. So, basically, I have a big battery array being charged by a solar panel, and the two of them are charging a secondary battery, which is kind of analogous to your big fat capacitor, for, like you were talking about for the stereo people a year or two ago. It's kind of where I was getting that model from. Then drive that with a boost regulator and then off to, you know, the 13.8 voltage requirement, actually 14 volt requirement for the radios.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with that big 4 farad capacitor. It just reminded me.
You just hope it's not charged up somewhere.
Oh, well. Well, I have a question.
And I'm waiting with bated breath.
I am trying to resurrect a very expensive commercial piece of equipment here, an amplifier, that fell into the hands of a noted amateur, now a silent key, who decided to put a second tube in it, modify a whole bunch of things. It has two dead tubes, expensive 8877, some burned out relays, and a bunch of really burned out circuit boards. This is going to be a labor of love. Anyway, this thing derived its bias with a Zener, okay? And here's my question. The original design had a 5-watt Zener. They, of course, really stressed this because they added a second tube. But thinking about this, how do I size a Zener for a current of 1 amp? My question is that it's an 8.1-volt Zener. It's in the cathode. It has 1 amp flowing through it, and 1 amp times the 8.1 volts or so gives me 8.1 watts. And yet, it's a 5, from the factory, in the design, it's a 5-watt Zener. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. That's why you're replacing it, because the sucker's fried, because it was, I mean, good Lord.
Well, they added a second tube and brought the current up to 2 amps, and of course they fried it and a whole bunch of other things. I'm going to bring it back to its original 2.5 kW rather than 5 and disconnect the pole pick from it. But anyway, I for the life of me, cannot understand why somebody would do that. Am I right? Do I multiply the current, 1 amp, times the voltage of the Zener to figure out the watts? I think that's the way you size it. I don't know. 8.1 volts times 1 amp equals 8.1 watts, and yet the original factory design had a 5 watt.
Kind of the duty cycle.
Yeah, part of it's duty cycle, and part of it is probably the way the thing was kept cool.
It was not cooled. It was not on a circuit board. It was on a circuit board, not on a with a heatsink. I mean, to give you an idea, the same type device in something like a Drake or a Heathkit is a 20-watt device, you know, a 10-watt device. And this thing was rated for 1 amp continuous key down.
Yeah, okay. Well, they led a charmed life. My God. Just a curiosity, did this live in Saddlebrook?
Bingo.
Yeah, well, I kind of figured when you said noted and it had two tubes and then they were both 8877s, I was pretty much convinced of whose it was. And then you said pole pig, and I went, oh, God, I know who it is.
Well, this is going to be a labor of love to put this back.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Which model was it?
The Alpha 77.
Oh, man. He butchered a 77 with a second tube?
Yep, and never changed the plate load impedance or changed the Pi network. Knew nothing about what he was doing. What a shame. This thing is fried.
Yeah, wow. But he had such beautiful audio.
Even the neighbor's toaster knew it.
You know, okay, I'm going to leave it be, but boy, anytime someone said, hi, I'm a radio amateur, I want to put something more than 30 feet in the air in Saddlebrook, everybody in town turned white as a ghost and got red in the next breath. I watched some poor guy who was a brand new ham 20 years ago go before the Saddlebrook Borough Council with a PRB1 package. And after the guy made his presentation, he was asked to come forward, and the mayor put his hands over the microphone and told him in so many words, this isn't going well, you need to think about leaving. And he stepped back and then announced that this is our god dang town, blah, 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 and he can get out.
CX6CAH disconnected.
The other operation.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate we have things like that. Anyway, I'm trying to convert this back to the stock condition, and it's going to be a project.
Yeah, so how badly did he mangle the metalwork?
That's okay, but there's a lot of burned out capacitors, fried loading capacitors, burned out antenna relays, jumpers on the meter shunts. It'll take a little while, and of course two burned out 88.
Wow, that's amazing to me. So he managed to do this he fried everything, but he managed not to mangle any of the metal. That's truly amazing. Yeah. Thank God for small miracles. That's really amazing, Jim. Dear, an Alpha 77, boy, nice amp. I wish I could run an amp here. Oh, God. Anyway, not in my next life, in my next house.
It's 2K. Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
Question for Jim is, what kind of oil does this full pig have in it?
Actually, it's empty.
Well, what did it have in it?
You know what it had in it.
Oh, motor oil.
No, it had polychlorinated biphenyls.
Yeah, I was about to say that, but yeah, I know exactly what it was. It didn't have mineral oil?
No.
Yeah, you know, years ago I worked for a company in Rutherford called Rutherford Research, and the guy did ASTM quality dielectric testing of materials, and everything from solids to liquids. You can only imagine. I was real good at balancing out the stray capacitances and inductances using a Simpson 260.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit, it'll work to resurrect this thing. It's a shame that somebody took some beautiful piece of equipment and did this to it.
I said a Simpson 260. I meant a Booten radio. 260 or 360, I can't remember, but anyway. That's just horrific. Absolutely horrific. But are you surprised? I mean, let's think about this. Are you really surprised?
Oh, no, and I'll tell you more when I see you.
Including how you got it, how you acquired this gem. But anyway, yeah. Oh, well. Such is life. Mr. Jackson, you asked the right question. I wasn't going to ask, but since you did. Well, just don't go brushing your teeth with the toothbrush you use to clean outside the transformer, to clean the inside of the transformer, okay?
You know, it's really not a problem unless you're planning any more children.
Yeah, well, I think I'm past that.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah, I have to make sure that my children don't get exposed to it. Because at least one of them, and then, you know, not terribly distant future, will probably be planning such things. John's engaged.
Oh, well, you wouldn't want him to be involved with any of this.
No, he's going on a submarine instead. He'll be all sorts of goodies there.
That's for sure.
Actually, he'll be on a nuke boat, and not for another year or so. At least.
Yeah.
He keeps finding new and creative ways to extend his opportunities to remain in the service of the United States Navy while they continue to educate him. Anyway, that's a really cool project, Jim. But I think your biggest challenge is going to be to find whether you want to go original parts or you want to go robust and rugged.
Well, going over the original design, there's some real deficiencies in terms of protective circuits and stuff like that. So now when I put this thing back together again, it'll be bulletproof.
Excellent. You gonna have it work on 6 meters?
Oh, this covers 160 through 10. My 6 meter project will be a very interesting one. I'm going to convert a Henry 2K with an 8877 for 6 meters so that we can really rock next contest time.
Well, that would be excellent. 8877 on 6 meters is just lovely. Absolutely lovely. Let me tell you a quick example of, I don't know, was this 8877? Yeah, I think it was. Do you guys know the Canadian power limit? It's different than ours?
Yeah, is it based on a plate, the plate load or something like that?
No, it's 2,500 watts to the antenna terminals.
I can do that.
Yeah, okay. So 1 year, I guess it was, must have been June, either 70, it must be June 77. I think it was June 77. I was asked by a couple of colleagues from my classmates of mine up at RIT if I wanted to go up to visit VE3 ASO. So we did that during the contest. And the 2 meter station was on the side of a hill, and the direction the hill was to the north, and it was well north of, it was basically, you know, in hill country, in what they call cottage country, north of, you know, 100 miles north of Toronto, so basically there was nothing on 2 meters north of them. And if you stood in the way of the four-bay array when, let's say, they were going out toward the Maritimes or Newfoundland, you know, that area of the world, and you were uphill from them, if you stood there, you know, let's say 100 yards away, you would start to get a headache.
Yeah, that was dead to your attention. Well, I've been in facilities where you put your hand up in front of the UHF antenna, you could actually feel the heat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I have 3 and 5 watt LED flashlights that if you focus the energy, you can feel the heat a foot away at, you know, normal room temperature. On your hand. Uh, station? All right. Anyway, well Jim, that sounds like a wonderful pair of projects. Thank you for the topics tonight. Pardon my not getting to them sooner. I thought the one comment was your topic. I didn't realize you had a string of them. And that's a good thing. And I'll relay your answer to Noel because I think he went into sleep mode. He gets tired these days.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was talking about the flashlight. I have something here that's very interesting. You can hold up a sheet of newspaper, and when I turn it on, it's a laser. You can write your name on the sheet of newspaper that I hold up. You don't want to shine this out the window, though.
Really? How many watts and what light spectrum is it?
It's about 600 nanometers, and it's got a 4,000 watt power supply.
Oh, boy. You want to use it for CW?
Actually, I purchased it surplus to use at a class that I was teaching at Stevens. And what we were going to do was to bounce this across the Hudson River off a reflecting surface and back again, and we were going to modulate it. And then we were told that that was probably not a good idea.
I can tell you that's really not a good idea. But yeah, and post 9/11, I can assure you you better be calling all sorts of folks before you go do that.
Yeah, but it's lots of fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. 4,000 watt power supply, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, I used to have an optical CW transceiver that would, actually a pair of them, that were good for about a half a mile. Without too much fuss and muss. And I would operate them at the state line lookout at opposite ends of the old northbound runway, roadway of Route 9W.
With a 4kW power supply, you ought to be able to write your name in steel.
Actually, I could do it on a piece of plywood.
My optical levels were a little lower than that.
The people out there that give heliographs out in Arizona go 100 miles.
Yeah, I know, it's amazing. You know, by the way, I found a company that sells tactical equipment that's very, very good. It's called Desert Deuce, DEUCE.com. What's really cool about them is that they have a bunch of packs that might be good for portable operation. We were talking about that before. And for $60 or so, I ordered I forget what the model number is. I'll get it in a minute. Look. Okay, I ordered a Condor medium Mali assault pack, I got mine in black because I figured I was thinking about Coyote Tan, but then I realized that black is probably, even though I'm not a big fan of having black containers, if I'm bringing computers into the office and things like that, it'll look a little neater and a little more conventional. But if you look at Condor. Just Google Condor Mali MOLLE pack or assault. You'll see what I ordered, and it's big enough to hold, essentially a couple of tough books, a bunch of power supplies, and miscellaneous other goodies. Batteries, etc. So
also looking at another pack that's substantially more expensive. But, you know, if you want to take gear somewhere, it's not bad. And the Moly webbing...